thing that helped is getting the ombudsman involved, because it's affecting, you know, the care of this, you know, this individual that they're also tasked with making sure to get her taken care of, and so that's helped a lot. And then just continuing to work with them. But again, you know, it's the challenge we have, I think, to be honest, to be free with this, to be honest with you, Patty, is that we get categorized with all hospitals. Mm-hmm. So Providence and AMC and Regional and Anchorage, who has anywhere from an 18 to a 20%, you know, I don't know exactly, but they've got a pretty healthy profit margin. We get stuck in that same category where I think we lost about our operating margin last year was minus 7%. And then the year before that was, you know, a couple percent too. So we've been losing money, you know, for quite a while. And unfortunately, we're pocketed into the same thing. So it's just been in the past couple of years, partly because of a little more activity within the small hospital community, but getting them to understand, you know, the nuances of different organizations within the state.
I seem to remember many years ago, small hospitals are always on the bubble. They can have one little disaster and it manifests itself into a critical situation. Is there any attempt for those small hospitals to petition the state and tell them that because of the slowdown in the application for Medicaid that you may have to seek relief from the state?
Again, that's, you know, that's not their venue or their priorities. You know, okay. They're tasked with, you know, staying within their budget and what, you know, the legislator gives them. Yeah. So it's, you know, part of the challenge again is they don't have enough staff to get those things and get those applications accomplished timely, and so that's why they're looking at it. Patty, I don't want to come across that your questions are not, but I assure you that my staff has brainstormed and worked with their counterparts, and mm-hmm. you know, and I think to the point that I think Rose knows some of those ladies' home phone number and their address, you know, or talks them on Facebook just to kind of get things, you know, accomplished. Just because, and it's constant, you know, and it's got, and I know for a fact that he's got the relations to the point that when Rose calls, she recognizes the voice, and she already knows who's calling her without even having to be introduced, because it was consistency.
Well, I'm just thinking four long-term care patients would just be a tremendous relief.
Right. But that's not unique to us. I mean,
I know.
Yeah, Petersburg down a couple, Ketchikan's down, Cordova's down. I mean, it's something across the state because, again, trying to get those applications. My directive to the staff is that we will not accept any long-term care patients until we have a payment source. Because right. Once you've got them in long-term care, you know, it's, yeah. you know, it's your, whether they're paying or not, you have to, you know, provide those services, mm-hmm. and we'll be losing even more money.
Anything further for Mr. Grant? Thank you.
Just to keep us posted. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anything further on the Bill of Minor Group report?
No.
I
don't have anything other than what's in my report, but I do want to remind the public that the hospital board meetings are going to be here now at 5:30, third Wednesday of each month, so I believe the next one is the 21st. So I'm sure they've put out notices and everything, but it's when things change, things get messed up, so.
Okay, thank you. Item 10, Mayor of an Assembly Appointments.
What business? Business?
Nine.
Number nine. Number nine, Mayor Assembly Business.
Oh, Mayor and Assembly Business. This is the Assembly member that anything else.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, this is Assembly Reports.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I was fortunate enough to come down to Seattle with seven fellow firefighters from Renko, and we participated in the Scott Stair Climb, which raises money for blood cancers, leukemia, and lymphoma. And it was an incredible event. Our team raised in excess of $16,000. and overall firefighters from all over the world participated, and in total that we raised over $2.4 million for the Cancer Foundation. And Team Wrangell had a really strong showing, and we had some great volunteers that came along as well and helped out at the stair climb. So a very successful event, obviously a cause that's very near to my heart, and it was absolutely chilling to see people who were in the throes of battles with cancer coming out to cheer the firefighters on as we headed up those stairs. So very, very exciting event, and I know that our team captain, Chris Hatton, and Dorian Spray have been doing that event. I think this was their 7th or 8th year. They came down initially and did it on their own many years ago. The fire department supported us, but every firefighter paid their own way down and all their own personal expenses. Of course, the fire department supported us with our turnout gear and our air pack so that we could do this, the challenge. So, nice for Rainbow, and there was, I think, 3 or 4 other communities from Alaska represented.
Well, thank you, Steve.
That's it.
Thank you. Anything further from assembly members? Item 10, mayor and assembly appointments. We still have
Jim.
Two vacancies on the Planning and Zoning Commission. One expired. Was unexpired until October 2018 or 2019, and the other is unexpired until October 2020. There were no letters of interest on those items, so we'll keep advertising for those. Or if we approve
the reduction in
the amount of people on those boards. Which I think
it's on the agenda.
It's on the agenda later. So. Item 10B, appointment to fill a vacancy on the SEPA board. There are no letters of interest on for that vacancy. However, since the borough manager is the alternate, I'm going to appoint her as a voting member on the SEPA board. And then if somebody has interest later on, they can come on as the alternate until they kind of get up to speed, and then we'll go from there.
I'll keep advertising for the alternate.
Thank you. Let's see. We had public hearing prior to the meeting, so. Item 12A has been postponed until the next meeting.
No.
12B was postponed.
12B was postponed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm sorry, I wrote it on the wrong one. Item 12A. You changed the agenda format and confusion.
Sorry.
Item 12A, proposed resolution number 318-1391, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the amendment of the job description for groundman meter technician Ron, the creation of the position groundman meter technician 2, and the amendment of the union wage and grade table. This was postponed from the February 6th and 27th, 2018 regular assembly meetings.
Move to approve resolution number 03-18-1391, providing for the amendment of the job description for the meter technician 1, the creation of the position meter technician 2, and the amendment of the union wage and grade table.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, this was postponed because there were some questions that I could not answer, and at the time the electrical supervisor was unavailable, and he is still unavailable, but Mark Armstrong, who's the foreman there, is available, and who is acting right now, is available to answer specific questions that the assembly may have regarding this position.
Do you have any assembly member have a question for Mr. Armstrong?
Well, right now I don't really think I have any questions. I just have some statements to make about it, on the situation and what's going on with it. I feel that we went through a collaborative bargaining, okay? And at the time, when they were doing a collaborative bargaining, I did some research, and this job was offered to be fixed at that time and not taken. And also, we the city asked the union to do a thing on billing, and that was, they were actually asked the city what they were going to get out of it, and of course they weren't going to get nothing out of it. It was going to help the city. So nobody was going to get out of it, and they asked what was going to be given to them, which was nothing. No one was getting nothing out of it except where the billing was going to make it easier on the city. I don't feel that we should start changing stuff with union employees unless we're in collaborative bargaining. We just went through it. We went through a strike, and things were offered and things were taken, and I don't feel it's right for us to start doing bargaining outside of that venue. So I don't feel that this is something that we should look at or something that we should do. When the job was taken, the job description is there, the job pay is there, and that's what it is. If they want to correct it, then I feel then we get something out of it if we're going to give something to the union. I mean, that's what they asked from us, so that's what I want to ask from them. If they want us to change this job, then let's look at the billing question that we had a year ago and see if we can get that taken care of. And then we can come back to this and correct this situation right here. That's where I stand with it. I think we've already done all of our collaborative bargaining, and we should not start messing around with it outside of collaborative bargaining.
I'm not familiar with the billing question that you're talking about.
So we're probably straying.
I think we are.
A little bit.
Yeah, I don't understand.
The main point is we are not in collaborative bargaining right now. I do not believe that. I believe this is part of collaborative bargaining, and we should not be raising or doing anything without going into collaboration with the union. That's the point I'm making right now. We have already done it. We have an agreement. We should not stray from that agreement.
Assemblymember Powell, I completely respect your viewpoint on this. The reason this is brought forward is, as you know, I wasn't here. We're looking at job descriptions. The electric supervisor and I were with regard to bringing on the journeyman electrician, and there were some discrepancies in the duties that were assigned to the meter technician position, and that the things that are expected of the meter technician in relation, when comparing that to the journeyman lineman position, it was obvious to me that that position was not being compensated appropriately enough for what was being requested in the job description when compared with the journeyman lineman position. So at that time, the electric supervisor said it had been an issue, an ongoing issue that they had been trying to deal with for a number of years. And obviously, if it came up during collective bargaining, the borough recognized that at that time. It's something that I brought forward because I saw it as an issue, and certainly it's entirely up to the assembly as to whether or not you choose to deal with it now or you'd like to wait until we go back into bargaining to deal with that. But I saw it as an issue, so I brought it forward.
And I understand that. I get that it's an issue, but I still say that we offered it to them and they did not accept it in collective bargaining. So we're just getting out of the rain of what we all went through, and I just don't see that we should start correcting things outside of bargaining.
I think too, Mr. Mayor, can you hear me okay?
Go ahead.
I think what Assembly Member Powell is getting at partially is that my feeling during the process with the union was that when we brought something forward, they always came back with what's in it for us. And when we asked for something, there was definitely that process. And it was not, you know, when we raised the payroll question to the union, they said the words, you know, what's in it for us? What will you give us, even if it was a net sum loss to the union and the employees? They wanted something in return. And I hold nothing against the union. It's their job to negotiate. And the way you negotiate is by having things to give back. And if you don't have anything to give back, you're not in a position to negotiate. So when we asked for that slight tweak to the payroll process, and they said, what do you have to give us? And we said, well, nothing. That was when we got back to we're going to there, then, well, no, we won't do that. And that's what bothers me in terms of moving forward in a process when we know we're going to have another collective bargaining. And if we don't have anything to work with, then I wonder, you know, what's going to happen in the next process that we go through. And further to that, I kind of feel like we are opening up an agreement that we just battled with this union for, and wound up having a strike and a great deal of strife in our community, and already we're revisiting it. Now, I appreciate that it's been brought forward by the electrical superintendent as a disparity, but this was brought forward during the negotiations, and the union said, we're not interested in dealing with this. We want these other issues. And so it seems to me like it's revisiting an agreement we already went through. So I would like this worker to have that, but I do have to say, I don't feel like it's putting it in a good position. And my experience with the union, from what I've been told from our negotiators, was that it wasn't a matter of building up goodwill and we worked together. It was hard negotiations, and that's what I anticipate we'll be into the next time around.
Thank you, Steve. Yes, go ahead.
This may be a question for for Mark. Mark, is there a state or a union description for these positions that this is modeled after? No.
Yeah, Mark Armstrong, 611 Evergreen. No, these are descriptions that are come up with by the administration. And in the contract, well, they're approved by the IPW.
So these are approved descriptions by IBEW through our state union, and
they're recognized.
And so our description of these positions matches likewise across the state.
No. CIB is individual for its, our contract.
Not the contract.
The IBEW contract with the city of Wrangell is different than any other community, and it contains different language.
May I jump in here and answer that? So our job descriptions of our positions here, I think, they're not modeled after what I would call a union standard for a job description. Are there pieces and parts and similarities taken from other similar job descriptions from similar positions around different electrical departments throughout the state? Yes, that absolutely is correct. And other job descriptions from locations around the state were used to update this in the changes that you see here. So, but is there, and Mark can chime in here, there isn't what you would call a union job description for this position that is something that municipalities follow when they create job descriptions.
That is correct.
Okay, yes.
Thank you.
I think further for Mark.
Mark, there's new responsibilities, and these two positions have been. Can you explain to the public what is being proposed here? You have technician one and technician two.
Right, and it's something that's been discussed between, well, from my understanding, it has been discussed between Clay and myself and the crew quite a bit. Clay is the one who came up with the description and all the language for this. The part of the issue that I think that Clay was dealing with is that a meter reader is seen as an entry-level position, and it gets paid entry-level wages. And as a description, a meter reader reads meters. And so for this particular position, that happens probably 5 or 6 days out of the month that that person is actually reading meters. The rest of the month is given to other duties. And those duties include assisting the line crew when they're out on the job. And then the other part of that is maintaining the meters, which means that the meter reader, ground reader, installs meters, he disconnects meters, he is responsible for the programming of meters, both single-phase and three-phase meters. So he deals with live 120-240 circuits, the 480 circuits. He installs test switches. He tests all the meters to make sure that they function properly, those kind of things. When a meter reader is hired, he's sent to 4 years of schooling and is also required to hold a CD, a flagging card, CPR card. So I think Clay's concern, and I'm attempting to speak for what he expressed to me, was that he wanted to keep this as an entry-level position, you know, to where we can hire out of the community and then train this person into the position of what they're doing. But by the time they get done with all their training, it's really a profession. And I think he tried to show that by showing in some of the other communities that if you go down south, there's journeyman meter readers. They just like a lineman, they go through a process of certification. So
the intent with the two positions is the meter technician one is the untrained person, as Mark said, that would start at the entry level and go through the training. The meter technician two is the new rating, essentially, you would get as an employee once you have reached a certain level of training and knowledge in the job, or somebody who already had that training and knowledge, those certifications, and could be hired at that level instead of at the entry level. So that's why there are two different designations there. It's not two different positions. It's still one meter groundman position, but you have the ability to ascend to that second level within that existing job.
Do we currently have a position at the department with a description that matches more those qualifications that meter two person would have?
No.
Let me say that. Do we currently have a position description at the department that would match more closely the new meter two position? Like, without adding a new description, a new job qualification, do we already have an existing job description? No. Okay. Do we currently have an employee that we are looking at already putting into this new description currently?
There is an employee who's been hired as a meter reader who has
significantly more training that should be in a position of a level two?
No.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not presently.
No. So at this time, do we have to produce this now, or like he said, is this something that we could generate during our negotiations?
That's totally up to you guys. This was put forward by Clay. It's something that we've discussed a long time. So, you know, I'd love to speak to some of the union stuff, but, you know, I don't know that this is the venue to do that.
I,
or,
yeah.
So... I think that would be...
I'm I'm asking questions and speaking to personal knowledge and past experience, and as he stated, as Mr. Powell stated, I believe the appropriate place to make a new job description and come up with a pay scale would probably be during union negotiations and not necessarily at this table. Does that sound correct?
That's the point I'm making.
Yep.
That's up to you. I mean, as the assembly to decide that. But at the same time, it's totally within the administration right
yep.
to put that forward before you. And
the only other question I have is: are we going to lose or gain anything from this? Are we going to lose any services by not doing this? Is everything going to stay the same? Is the job description that's there right now going to still complete the jobs that we're doing right now? Yeah?
I'd like to address that. It's been my experience, okay? There are plenty of people in Wrangell who are willing to apply for that entry position. I think where the city loses is where they spend all the money training, and then once they get trained, they leave. And so, really, I think that addresses more what I see happening. So, what you lose, I think, maybe not be as obvious or as tangible, but it's quite expensive to train them, and then they leave. And I've been in the electrical department a long time, and that's the number one turnover position at the line crew.
I wasn't on collective bargaining with the union, but I agree that it's probably the best place to do this. And like you just said, if we're going to spend all this money, I'm kind of nervous about spending any money right now with the city. But
me too.
But without even having this, training somebody to do it, and I just think we should go with the union. I think that's a better place.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
I would state that I agree wholeheartedly with you that training people for a new position, there needs to be some incentive for that person to stay. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I do not disagree with having this position made. I think it's a very good idea to have an incentive for someone in our community to take this meter one position, train for a meter two position, and have that there to move into. That's how a journeyman position works. That's how, you know, my father was a pipe fitter. That's how things progress in that, and I agree. But I think during bargaining and everything and designing this position, I read through this. This looks like a very well-written document. I agree that this is well done. I don't deny that we should do this. I think the appropriate place to do it would be with the union during bargaining and to come up with a very solid description.